Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday's class, December 21st, 2023, 1 John.
All right, first thing first, Saturday will be Francis Cox's birthday. 2 days before Jesus' birthday. And then whoever the guy was who drew this up there had to put not Francis there. Well, then we'd have God the Mother, you know. But Debbie already has that title. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. We are in the great epistle on virtue love. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 9. By this, the unconditional, impersonal love of God the Father for all mankind was manifested among us. Namely, that God has sent His unique Son into the world for the purpose that we might live, have eternal life, and live the unique spiritual life by the agency of Him, Jesus Christ. Verse 10. In this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, absolutely not that we had loved God, but that He, God the Father, loved us, and He sent His Son, the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, royal family, if God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and He has so loved all mankind with impersonal love, then we also are obligated, and there is our verb ophelo, then we also are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. Verse 11, then, is a challenge to each one of us. It's a challenge to every church-age believer to live the unique spiritual life that God has given to each one of us. It's a challenge. Verse 11 is a challenge to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, to advance to spiritual maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. And that is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life in the dispensation of the church age. That's why we are here. Then, and only then, will we have the motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, and then we can fulfill our obligation. We could not possibly have impersonal love for all unless we were first of all the beneficiaries of God's impersonal love for us. Operation Grace, the cross. And that brought us to a study of the doctrine of virtue, and the last point of that doctrine, point 11, was the axioms of virtue, and we noted 11. First of all, axiom number one, sin and carnality does not necessarily mean loss of virtue. And we noted 1 John 1, 8 through 10. If you spend a short time out of fellowship with God, a short time in the cosmic system, that will not destroy your virtue. But the key is to keep short accounts and use God's problem-solving device, number one, rebound, and get back into fellowship with God, get back into the filling of the Spirit, get back into the spiritual life as quickly as possible. Get out of the cosmic system before you do lose your virtue. Carnality is the loss of the filling of the Spirit, but it is not the loss of virtue if you use God's problem-solving device of rebound and get back into fellowship with God quickly. Everyone sins. Even the greatest of believers sin. But the believer in spiritual adulthood, he keeps short accounts. He knows when he sins, but he keeps short accounts. And he uses rebound. And he gets back into fellowship with God, back into the filling of the Spirit, back into his spiritual life, and lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. However, if the believer remains out of fellowship with God, remains in the cosmic system, then his sinning is symptomatic of his loss of virtue. Has no virtue, no virtues of Christ. Axiom number two, without virtue and taking responsibility for your own bad decisions, there are no solutions to the problems of life. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is born again into a system of virtue, the unique spiritual life of the church age. Now he must live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the power to live the spiritual life. Spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. That means finding a sound Bible teaching church and making the good decision from humility and positive volition to assemble and take in the Word of God. And then the third spiritual skill, executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. He must use rebound when necessary and continue to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Axiom number three, sharing the happiness of God depends on having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Because number three of virtue love is occupation with Jesus Christ, and the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. Axiom number four, equality is not a virtue. Man was never designed for equality. Where equality exists, human freedom is gone. The only place where freedom and equality exist is in current positional truth, in union with Jesus Christ. And there in union with Jesus Christ, we have equal privilege and equal opportunity to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to glorify God to the maximum. Axiom number five, virtue is the manifestation of God's grace and God's power in living the spiritual life. Axiom number six, arrogance is the manifestation of man's power, human energy of the flesh, the sin nature, and living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Axiom number seven, arrogance derives great power from glorifying self, self-absorption, preoccupation with self. Axiom number eight, virtue derives great power from the filling of the Spirit and the power of the Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart. Axiom number nine, decisions without virtue are disastrous to living. Axiom number 10, all mankind is designed for servitude, which means every person, every believer in Jesus Christ, either serves the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life, or he serves Satan, living in his cosmic system. Axiom number 11, you cannot reject the Word of God, Bible doctrine, and serve the living and true God. Every day, you must choose in your own soul. It's between you and the Lord. Every day, you must choose, whom are you going to serve? Joshua put it this way, Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, one, in 1 John 4, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle John has clearly delineated the true nature of impersonal love for all. In 1 John 4, verses 9 through 11, The Apostle John has clearly delineated the true nature of impersonal love for all. Two, the supreme expression of impersonal love for all is God's impersonal love for all mankind displayed in his plan of eternal salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. So the supreme expression of impersonal love for all is God's impersonal love for all mankind displayed in his plan of eternal salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. Three, God's impersonal love for the world came first. It preceded and serves as a role model for man's impersonal love for all. God's impersonal love for the world came first. It preceded and serves as a role model for man's impersonal love for all. God loved the world when the world was spiritually dead and totally depraved. God loved the world when mankind was at its worst. And that's what impersonal love, that's the mandate given to each one of us to have impersonal love. That's for all mankind. And that means loving man when man is at its worst. And when you have impersonal love for all, well, that will solve all human relationship issues and problems. Totally resolved. Impersonal love for all, because you are operating on virtue and honor and integrity and loving others when they are at their worst. So God's impersonal love for the world came first. It preceded and serves as a role model for man's impersonal love for all. Four, this truth had already been introduced by the Apostle John back in 1 John 3, verse 16. He introduced this concept in 1 John 3:16, which says, by this we have come to know impersonal love for all, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us as a substitute for the entire human race, and therefore we are obligated to have impersonal love for all. So John introduced this concept back in 1 John 3:16, and now he is amplifying it in 1 John chapter 4. So, point 5. In 1 John 4, 9 through 11, John now elaborates on what he introduced in 1 John 3:16. And he elaborated in a powerful and compelling way. So now in 1 John 4, 9 through 11, the Apostle John is elaborating on what he introduced back in 1 John 3:16, but now he is elaborates it in a powerful and compelling way. But now in verse 12, the Apostle John declares a truth that might seem surprising. The invisible God, whom no one has seen at any time, actually abides in those who love one another with impersonal love for all. 1 John 4, verse 12 starts out with, no man has seen God at any time. And this is the adjective eudes plus the perfect active indicative of theaomai plus the accusative singular of theos plus the adverb popote. And we start out with eudes. O-U-D-E-I-S, eudes. Now, eudes as an adjective means no. However, when eudes is used as a substantive, a noun, which is how it's used here, then it is correctly translated no one, nobody, no member of the human race. That's what we have here, the substantival use of eudes. No one, nobody, no member of the human race has theaomide God. T-H-E-A-O-M-A-I, theaomide. Couple of things on this verb. First of all, theaomai literally means to see, to look at, to behold. The accusative singular, what are we theaomain? The direct object, the accusative direct object is theos. T-H-E-O-S, and that is God. So no one, nobody, no member of the human race has theaomide seen theos, God. And then that verb theaomai is modified by the adverb popote. That's P long O, P O T E, popote. And popote as an adverb means ever or at any time. So no one, nobody, no member of the human race has seen, looked at, beheld God ever at any time. So point two, no member of the human race has ever seen two members of the Godhead. No one has ever seen God the Father. No one has ever seen God the Holy Spirit. No member of the human race has ever seen two members of the Godhead. No one has ever seen God the Father. No one has ever seen God the Holy Spirit. Turn over to John 1:18. John 1:18, the Gospel of John. All right, John 1:18, no one has ever seen God, but God, the uniquely born one, who is at the Father's side, seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ. He has made him known. And that translation of he has made him known is the verb exegeomai. E-K-S, long E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Exegeomai is where it's transliterated, exegete. Jesus Christ has exegeted the Father. And that means he has explain the Father. You see, that's what the spiritual gift of pastor teacher does all the time, day after day after day. Exegesis, 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 and then gets up and explains exactly what the Word of God is saying. Well, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, has explained the Father. He is the only member of the Godhead that any member of the human race has ever seen. So no one has ever seen God. No one's ever seen God the Father. No one's ever seen God the Holy Spirit. But God, the uniquely born one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father, he has exegeted him. He has explained him. And then turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ declares dogmatically, John 6, verse 46, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. That is, he's talking about himself. That except the one who is from God, only he has seen the Father. So again, no member of the human race has ever seen two members of the Godhead. No one has ever seen God the Father. No one has ever seen God the Holy Spirit. Point three. However, man has theaomied God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, verses 1 through 3. So turn over to 1 John 1. However, man has theaomied God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, and that is the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. This we proclaim concerning the Word of life, the living Word. Jesus Christ is the living Word. We have the written Word, the Word of God, and the living Word is Jesus Christ. The life appeared, Jesus Christ, and we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was face to face with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So, point two, no member of the human race has ever seen two members of the Godhead. No one has ever seen God the Father. No one has ever seen God the Holy Spirit. John 1:18, John 6:46. However, man has theaomied God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:1-3. Four. Theaomai means to see and to be astonished in such a way that a supernatural impression is gained. Theaomai means to see and to be astonished in such a way that a supernatural impression is gained. Five, the apostles theaomai'd the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, and they saw and beheld his divine glory. The apostles theaomai'd the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, they saw and beheld his divine glory. Theaomai is in the perfect tense. The perfect tense is the dramatic perfect. The dramatic perfect is used to describe a fact in an unusually vivid and realistic way. The active voice, no member of the human race has ever performed the action of seeing God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the God-breathed scriptures. So the corrected translation, no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God the Father. No one has ever seen God the Holy Spirit. God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are invisible. Invisible but real. One, since God is spirit, no man has ever seen God in his essence. Since God is spirit, no man has ever seen God in his essence. Two, through the incarnation and virgin birth, that very first Christmas, where we have the greatest miracle that the world will ever see, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. God left heaven, left glory, to take on true humanity, to go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, skenaod. He skenaod, literally, he tented among us. S-K-long-E-N-O-long-O. Skenao. From that verb we have skenos, which is our tent, our human body, is a skenos. And in John 1:14, turn over to John 1:14. In John 1:14, Jesus Christ is declared that he skenaod, he tented among us, the hypostatic union, and we have seen his glory. John 1, verse 14. And the Word, this is the living Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word became flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that this world will ever see. And he skenaod, he tented among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the uniquely born one from the Father, full of grace and truth. So through the incarnation and virgin birth, the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, skenaod, he tented among us, hypostatic union, and we have seen his glory. 3. We saw the visible manifestation of God in Jesus Christ. We saw the visible manifestation of God in Jesus Christ. 4. The Lord Jesus Christ declares that God is spirit, and therefore his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ declares that in John 4:24. We'll turn over to John chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus Christ is giving a Bible class, and he says in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So the Lord Jesus Christ declares that God is spirit, and therefore his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. 5. While we cannot see God, his essence, his spirit, we can fulfill his plan for our life. While we cannot see God, his essence, his spirit, we can fulfill his plan for our lives. And that's what all of us as believers have to decide. Are we going to execute God's plan for our life, or are we going to substitute our own plan for our life? 6. We can live the unique spiritual life of the church age and glorify him to the maximum. That's God's plan for our life. We can live the unique spiritual life of the church age and glorify him to the maximum. That's his plan for our life. 7, a principle. Invisible God has visible influence. Invisible God has visible influence. Eight, you cannot see God, but you can see his influence in that believer who is living the unique spiritual life and functions with impersonal love for all. You see, that believer who executes God's plan for his life. Now, if you are a believer executing your own plan for your life, nobody will ever see. You will have no visible impact of God at all. This is only the believer who chooses from his own free will to execute God's plan for his life, to live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, you cannot see God, but you can see his influence in that believer who is living the unique spiritual life and functions under impersonal love for all. 9. Through living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attaining spiritual maturity, and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life, of why we are here. That's why we're here. Through living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the invisible God has great visible influence through that believer manifesting impersonal love for all. The invisible God has great visible influence through that believer manifesting impersonal love for all. The angels see it. The fallen angels see it. The elect angels see it. The world sees it. Those people in your periphery see it. The winner believer. The believer who makes good decisions to execute God's plan for his life, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. Living his life by the power of the Spirit of God, not energy of the flesh. Spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And that is, first of all, finding where the Word of God is taught. And when you find where the Word of God is taught, get your patootie in there and take it in again and again and again and again and again and again, consistently and faithfully. And that as you do that, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And now you're executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And you, that believer, has great visible influence. The invisible God has great visible influence through that believer who manifests impersonal love for all. So the corrected translation, no one has ever seen God, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. This is the conditional particle aeon plus the present active subjunctive of agapao plus the accusative plural of the reciprocal pronoun alelon plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the present active indicative of the verb meno. Well, we start out with a conditional particle, but it's not ae, it's the conditional particle aeon. Aeon. And aeon is found with the subjunctive of the verb agapao. And aeon plus a subjunctive introduces a third class condition. The third class condition is if something is true, maybe it is, maybe it is not. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, maybe we do, maybe we don't. And a conditional clause always has two parts, and you are well taught about this. There is the prodesis, which is the premise. There is the apodesis, which is the conclusion. The prodesis in 1 John 4, verse 12 is, if we love one another with impersonal love for all, third class condition, maybe we do, maybe we don't. And agapao, well, we've been in 1 John now for four chapters. You know this is his word, the verb agapao, the noun agape. A-G-A-P-A, long O, the verb for virtue, love. Personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and develops occupation with Jesus Christ. The present tense is a nomic present. And the nomic present introduces a timeless axiom of Scripture. Here's the axiom. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, then God abides in us. God is abiding in. We are, and that is the other word that you know after four chapters. Special with John, Meno. M-E-N, long O. That is the verb abide for living the spiritual life. Used by the Apostle John for living the spiritual life. If we love one another, impersonal love for all, that's the prothesis. The conclusion, the apothesis, is then God is menoing in us. We are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. That's the demonstration that we're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, because we are manifesting impersonal love for all mankind. The only way that happens is because you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. God is abiding in us. The active voice, the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in his heart, performs the action of the verb. The subjunctive mood goes along with aeon, introducing the third class condition. The reciprocal pronoun, allelon. Allelon, A-L-L, long E-L, long O-N, allelon. And allelon means each other or one another. So the prothesis, here's the premise. If we love each other, if we love one another, impersonal love for all, now we have the apothesis, now we have the conclusion. Ha Theos, the God. There's the definite article. Ha Theos, T-H-E-O-S, the God. And then the verb meno. The agapao we have is two favorite words in the epistle of 1 John. Meno. Well, I've already got it up there. Well, you have to write it. Meno. One. Meno may be translated to remain, to abide, to reside, to continue. To remain, to abide, to reside, to continue. Two. This is the Apostle John's special word describing the church age believer living the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. This is the Apostle John's special word describing the church age believer living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. Three, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit serves as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, which is the divine power for living the unique spiritual life of the church age. And the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit is the base of operations for the teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number two, so that you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ through consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine. The preposition and plus the personal pronoun ego is in us. So the corrected translation, No one has ever seen God, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God, then God is abiding in us. We are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And His love is perfected in us. And that is the conjunction chi plus the nominative singular of agape with the definite article plus the genitive singular of the intensive pronoun autos plus the perfect passive participle of teleao with the present active indicative of eimi plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego. Well, we start out with a conjunction chi. It's a connective chi, correctly translated, and. And then we have he, agape, autu. Definite article, he, agape, autu. It's a definite article, and then agape. This is John's word for virtue, love. And autu, intensive pronoun used for a third person personal pronoun, very common in Koine Greek. He agape autu, His love, God's love, His virtue love, God's virtue love. And specifically in our context, His God's impersonal love for all. His impersonal love for all. And then, great verb. Great verb. I know you all love this verb. This is a great verb. Teleao. Oh, you got to do better than that. T-E-L-E-I-O, long O, tele-a-o. Now this is the same verb that the Apostle John used back in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, but if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying His word, the mandates of God's word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been teleaoed, brought to completion in his heart. If anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying His word, the mandates of the word of God, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion. Teleao in him, in his heart. One. Teleao means to complete, to bring to completion, to bring to its goal, to accomplish the objective. Teleao means to complete, to bring to completion, to bring to its goal, to accomplish the objective. Two, it is from this verb, teleao, that we get the adjective teleos. T-E-L-E-I-O-S, teleos. Three, When teleos is used substantively, that is, as a noun, it is a synonym for the spiritually mature believer. The teleos believer is the spiritually mature believer. So when teleos is used substantively, it's used as a noun, it is a synonym for the spiritually mature believer. The teleos believer is the spiritually mature believer. Four. That is point four. The teleos believer is the spiritually mature believer. And where is that taught? I thought you'd never ask. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And this is, again, one of the central passages on the importance of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, and you will never become a teleos believer until you place yourself under the authority. You have to have humility. You have to respect the authority of God, His Word, but also the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And what is his objective? Exegeo, explain, exegete, explain the absolute truth of the Word of God. And that is presented here. Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, the temporary spiritual gift, some as prophets, another temporary spiritual gift. Some as evangelists, the permanent spiritual gift. And some as pastor teachers, permanent spiritual gift, and the highest gift of authority for teaching the Word of God in the church age, the post-canon period of the church age. And what is the gift of pastor teacher for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, edification, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the epinosis knowledge of the Son of God, that is occupation with Jesus Christ, to a teleos man, a spiritually mature believer. When you reach that point of epinosis, knowledge of the Son of God, occupation with Christ, you are a teleos man, a spiritually mature believer, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So the teleos believer is the spiritually mature believer. But you'll never get there without getting under the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And that only requires a couple of things: positive volition and humility, respect for authority. Five, the believer who keeps on obeying the mandates of God's Word, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he will accomplish the objective of spiritual maturity. The believer who keeps on obeying the mandates of God's Word, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, he will accomplish the objective of spiritual maturity. Six, when you attain spiritual maturity, then you will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. When you reach spiritual maturity, then you will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And this, point seven, this is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. This is why we're here. And when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, now you have personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. And you have attained the epinosis knowledge of the Son of God, occupation with Jesus Christ. The perfect tense is the intensive perfect. The intensive perfect places the emphasis on the existing results of a past action or on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The passive voice is the voice of grace. The believer who lives a spiritual life by the spiritual skills receives the action of having virtue love brought to completion in his heart by the grace and the power of God. And the participle of teleao is combined with the to-be verb eimi, making a periphrastic participle. And the periphrastic participle is very, very emphatic. Periphrasis means circumlocution. It is a roundabout way of saying what could be said more simply and briefly in a single verb. By using the periphrastic participle, the Apostle John is putting the spotlight on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. He puts the spotlight on with the periphrastic participle. Now, it breaks my heart that there are these pastors out there. They don't even know what a periphrastic participle is. They have no idea that God is putting the spotlight on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. But you would if you studied from the scriptures, the God-breathed scriptures. Your English translations, they're just translations. And they're weak. And they lead a lot of pastors into false doctrine. But the original autographs, Hebrew, Aramaic, Koine Greek, they are the God-breathed scriptures. And when you recognize you have the gift of pastor-teacher, then you're commanded to prepare for the ministry. And I can still see Pastor Breckel telling me. And he said, Dick, you're going to Dallas Seminary. You have the gift of pastor teacher. You get all the Hebrew and Greek that you can get. You're only there 4 years. You get 4 years. 4 years of Hebrew and Greek. And that will barely get you started on exegeting the scriptures. And he was 100% right. He wasn't the only one. Colonel Thame came to us at Dallas Seminary and met with us, and he told us the exact same thing. He told us the exact same thing. You get all the Hebrew and Greek you can get while you're here. And it's one thing to get it. Some people have gone to seminary and got some Hebrew and some Greek, and then all those books are on the shelf and never used or thrown away. I just feel sorry. I feel sorry for the congregations, because there is so much there that you will never, ever see. How many of you reading the English text saw the periphrastic participle? I read it, all these translations. I never saw any periphrastic participle. But I did in a study. And it just, well, It puts a spotlight on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. But it also lit up my soul, and I could see God, His virtue, love, in a way, even greater way than ever before. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.